Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, everybody's favorite cousin, Cousin Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
I'll tell you what's going on, Shane. I think the SEC sucks.
Oh,
no.
Oh, you know, I was thinking about it earlier today, Mike, and I was like, you know, I can make an excuse for the Michigan team, right? They cheated. Okay. Ohio State, even I could probably give them kudos for putting together some of the best talent in the country on one team. Right. Now I turn on the TV and I'm watching a dominant Indiana. I'm watching them out there stealing everybody's recruits. I don't know, man. I told you earlier, I felt like maybe I'm not saying he was the Antichrist, but he is the anti-football, and he has come in here and he's rocked things up, and I am worried about our conference because we just look I mean, we're getting absolutely embarrassed other than Texas. Texas kind of saved us, but that was it.
All right, so what's the solution here? We just hire Cignetti and this all goes away?
No. I've been racking my brain, right? And I think one of the biggest problems, the biggest culprits that we have in this conference especially, is lack of depth, lack of roster continuity. You know, you're starting to see one of the things about an Indiana team, that, I mean, these guys have been, some of them have been playing together since day one, you know. I feel like when we were in our dominant reign, we were – you were waiting for your turn. It was next man up mentality. Now it's the next man's not there because he went to another conference to get some playing time.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I don't know.
Contracts.
I don't know if there's an easy solution, but.
Yeah.
Who knows? Hey, if Ole Miss wins this, I don't think there's a problem at all. Do you?
It's America's team, right? It's America's team, and I'm kind of torn because I got every college football playoff game wrong. So it's almost like I need to root against them to keep this kind of mojo rolling. So
right. Well, hey, before we get rolling here, I just want to do a special shout-out. I see him already in the comments. I don't know if he wants us to read this whole note, so I don't think I will read it. But shout-out Colonel. I didn't realize he was a Colonel. One of the best cousins out there, Shane. Cousin Mike Andrews here.
Hell yeah.
He sent us two coins, so I'm going to drive my fat ass down to see you, Shane, and give you one of these. So you could put one. I'm going to put one on my pod display and for you to do the same.
Yes.
But these are coins that, again, Colonel Mike Andrews, thank you so much. These are from his deployment in the Middle East. So that's what he's given to us for Christmas, Shane. So I just want a special shout out and thank you to Colonel Mike Andrews for your service and for the gift that we didn't know we were getting.
Absolutely, man. No, that was freaking awesome. And I can't wait to get it. And like I said, I will include it in the setback here. So thank you, Colonel, for hanging out with all us cousins. So thank you for your service, man.
Right. And as always, so I wanted to lead with that, right?
But yeah,
we also got to thank the service of my bookie. Shout out my bookie for sending sponsor of the show. Again, go check them out. I know football's about over, but basketball's gearing up, and they got the professional sports, all that. They got you covered over at my bookie. So go check them out. Promo code SEC. Still got a up to $500 wager free first deposit if you want to put that in there. And what that covers is if you lose that, whatever you put in, up to $500, if you lose it, if you use that promo code SEC, they'll throw that same amount right back in your account so you can keep on playing. And then once you do that, you head on over to Tennessee Legend and finish them off, Shane, just like that damn Big Ten's finishing us off. But that's about the only way I'll get through this bowl season is Tennessee Legend.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I want to give a shout-out. Talk to our boy over there today. They got their first paint and sip coming up on, this is Sevierville location. It's going to be rolling out February the 13th. Valentine's right around the corner. So you're booking your cabin with your heart-shaped tub and you want to get a little moonshine or a little Tennessee whiskey, you come on down to Tennessee Legend Distillery. Let them know the cousin sent you. Not only are you going to get a discount, but you will also get a bonus gift. And like I said, if you're down there on the 13th, maybe I could run into you as well as I do the painting. I get locked in around that paint and sip, you know, but because I'm quite the artist. I don't know if you knew this, Mike, but it's always a fun time hanging out with the cousins.
I got to be honest. I thought your paintings were horrible.
No!
But each one keeps getting better. So now you're like an artiste over here.
Well, now I can't. It's like it's a New Year's resolution. You're just going to try to be nicer to me, or are you telling the truth? I don't know. I'm all over the place. And I tell the cousins, it's so good to be back on, Mike, talk a little college football. The portal's going absolutely crazy. We got the playoffs. We got the bowl games ending. And it's back to life, back to reality tomorrow. And those cousins listen on their way to work. So I'm glad we could be a part of it. Maybe right. We make it 1 hour can help you get a little bit closer to that quitting time.
And getting you 1 hour quicker, Shane.
Yeah.
To the semifinals, because that's where Ole Miss is marching on without Lane quitting over here. What a damn game, Shane. We did the live show. Go check that out if you missed it. If you're an Ole Miss fan, there's a lot of good fun there. But to Ole Miss, 39, Georgia, 34. What a damn game this was, Shane. Ole Miss improves to 13-1 on the season. We'll face Miami in the next round. But, this is not one where I don't know how you feel, Shane, but I don't feel like Georgia like blew this game. I just feel like these were two elite teams. Trinidad came to play. He was a star of the show, 362 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. He had 13 consecutive completions at one point. It's a Sugar Bowl record. Mm-hmm. Gunnar Stockton, you know, his numbers are not as pretty, but again, 200 yards, 3 touchdowns total. He was getting beaten and battered and getting up and just looking tough as hell. And man, I feel bad for Georgia fans, but I think he just lost to a slightly better team just on that day. And shout out, of course, special shout out, Shane, to kicker Lucas Canero, 3 of 3, 55-yarder, 56-yarder, and the 47-yard game-winning field goal. And of course, Ole Miss got the safety at the very end. That's why the score is 39. But they would not have won this game without Canero nailing these kicks. And I don't know if you saw it, Shade, after the game, but so apparently LSU's got, you know, deals with all these guys.
Yeah.
They're not even in the portal, mind you, but they got deals with them. Canero was apparently one of them that they allegedly had a deal with, even though that's totally illegal. But now all of a sudden, Pete Golden says, hell, I'm talking to this guy every day, trying to get him to stay. So we'll see where that goes. But he's a hero right now in Oxford, as is Trinidad. Yeah. And what a damn game here, Shane.
Brother, I mean, phenomenal. Phenomenal game, and it was probably the most entertaining one, right? And one of the things that I racked my brain for, as if I'm looking at it like a Georgia perspective, it's like, man, here we are 2 years in a row. We win the SEC championship. We take a week off, and then we get beat. And it's usually, I'm not saying, last year was a little bit different, Notre Dame. I feel like this year they were right there in the mix. It's just Trinidad. Kind of like, remember the old NBA Jam? It's like, he's heating up. He's on fire. That's what it felt like, dude. That fourth quarter, Trinidad was absolutely on fire. There was nothing going to stop him. He was making some of the, I mean, golly, I hate that we gave the Heisman out so early, you know, because there's a moment that I feel like if you let this thing play out, that Trinidad may be the best player in this postseason. And absolutely lights out. What a great, great football game. Now all the chips are on the Ole Miss side. America's team, we're all rooting for them, except for Lane Kiffin. I feel like there's a part of him kind of wishes they would stumble here.
Hey, shout out David Chambers for the donation. Ready for round 3 in Arizona. Hotty tatty, history being made without Lane quitting. Let's fucking go, Rebels. So, yeah, they're the last hope, Shane. And never in a million years would I have guessed there's one SEC team remaining on January 4th, and it'd be them Ole Miss Rebels. So shout out probably the most, I don't know if disrespected is the right word, but maybe underrated 13-win team in SEC history. They got to be up there. So
yeah,
Shout out the Rebels. They'll be facing Miami, and then if they can win it, they'll get the winner of Indiana Oregon in the national championship game. And that game, both those games are this week, Shane. So we got Thursday and Friday action. So we won't have to wait terribly long to figure out who's in the national championship. But what a game! And you know, I kind of kid after this one, but now that I've sat back and thought even more about it, is there a case to be made, Shane? And maybe this is just crazy. But is there a case to be made for Pete Golding, SEC Coach of the Year? I mean, you laugh, Shane. This guy's got more playoff wins than anybody in this conference other than Kirby Smart.
I totally get it, and absolutely. And the fact that he was able to keep this roster focused and – you know, I mean, there's still two games to play. We're doing one at a time. I'm looking at the four remaining teams, and I'm telling you what, brother, probably the most exciting football team that's left is the Ole Miss Rebels. And I say that because, again, they're going to have to play some great football teams coming up, especially on the defensive side. But if they could get past them, if they could do something that no one has done to Miami yet, something that no one has done to an Indiana, I'm assuming Indiana will be the other team, but hell, maybe Oregon. I feel like if they could get past those, abso-freaking-lutely, with the cards he was dealt, the shit he was left. I mean, you got to remember, they fled with coaches and bags in the middle of the night. You know, actually, it's during the day. People were swerving at Coach Kiffin on his way out of here, you know, and Pete had to take that, all that negative energy that was surrounding that program, and harness it and use it for fuel through these college football playoffs. Absolutely. I'm right there with you, man.
And shout out to him. Lade Quinn sucks. More to follow. I don't know what that more to follow is, but I'm just reading.
Hell yeah, I don't either. But I'm interested. I am very interested. The only thing, I mean, I talked about Cignetti. I mean, I have to acknowledge I've been out on Indiana. I've been pissing on him, talking shit about him. And right now, if that team wins it all, then Cignetti, without a doubt, should be the coach of the year.
Well, I'm saying SEC coach of the year, though.
Oh, yeah, well, SEC. I'm right there with you. Yeah, let's do it.
And what better way, Shane?
Coach Lee would be the only closest one, I think, would be the closest one.
Yeah. What better way, though, Shane? Because if, and again, big if, Miami's good. I've been trying to tell you, Shane. We saw him against Florida. Now, I know Florida was not great, but God, did they embarrass them. That, you know, that was a game where I was like, okay, they're legit. Remember, we both picked Florida to win. That's when we still had a little bit of a shred of hope for old Napier and company. Yeah. But they completely dominated their ass, and then we saw what they did to A&M and then Ohio State. So this is going to be a hell of a task here. But let's say Ole Miss does win it.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, they'll be underdogs to Indiana.
Yeah.
But I think that's perfect. I think that's right where you want to be if you're Ole Miss. Underdog, we can't beat Mighty Indiana, you know, all this bullshit. They'll be saying it for a week. I think that would set up perfectly for Ole Miss.
They just won't die. We had the wrong team, didn't we?
And hey, we were talking about Kiffin here. How about this? I thought this was pretty interesting, Shane. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you heard this, but so Kiffin was supposed to be at the Sugar Bowl, right?
Yeah.
He didn't make it. Do you have any idea why he didn't make it? Now, he'll never come out and say this, but the real reason, I'm told, Shane, I don't know if this was, I assume this was Greg Sankey, but they were told, do not show Lane Kiffin on the broadcast. So word got to Kiffin that he would not be on TV if he was at this game, and he decided not to go. What's your thoughts on that decision there?
What a little kid, you know? I mean, just forget like the magnitude of the situation. Just what happened was he wasn't going to get his way, so he's not going. I mean, that's exactly what happened. I didn't get what I want. I'm not getting the recognition for what I mean. And don't get me wrong. Lane Kiffin created this team. I'm not going to sit here and say that, you know, that Lane Kiffin had nothing to do with this. But one of the knocks on Lane Kiffin was big games, big opportunities usually ended with big misses. And that's why I'm looking at this football team as a post Lane Kiffin. So to come in here and be patted on the back for what he's done for Ole Miss, I think there's a time and place for that because he did build something special there in Oxford. However, this team that's playing right now is not playing for Lane Kiffin. They're playing for Pete Golden. And I feel like this is I joke about America's team, but there's just something special about this program and why people like it. And I don't want to, it's been tainted the last 4 or 5 weeks because of Lane Kiffin. And now we don't have to hear it or put up with that.
Yeah. All right. Now let me ask you, where are we at with Georgia?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I don't think we're in massive decline or anything. I still think Kirby's the best coach in college football, but this is 2 years in a row, Shane, where we're one and done in the college football playoff. Both times as, ironically, in the Sugar Bowl, but both times as the favorite. And again, it's not like they got their ass whooped.
Yeah.
Alabama style. We'll get to that in a minute. But, this is 2 years in a row. And if we want to go back even a year further to, they probably should have won. Remember, they were undefeated. They lost to Bama in the SEC championship, and they didn't make, and it was the 4-team playoff. If it was the 12, maybe it's a different story. Mm-hmm. But point being, what do all three of those Georgia teams have in common, Shane? The man that they love to hate, Mike Bobo. Yeah. And I'm not saying this is Bobo's fault and his ass got to go. But can they win it, do you think? Can they win a national championship? That's the goal now every year in Athens. Can they win it with Mike Bobo and perhaps with Gunnar Stockton as quarterback? Or does something have to change in Athens?
I mean, there were a couple of games this year where we forgave Mike Bobo, right? It's like he came out. Maybe we should. I mean, there was even talk about him being offensive coordinator at one time. But then there's these moments when you're looking at this roster. And, brother, Georgia is always going to have an absolutely loaded roster. But – you know, one of the things that I was so excited in this offseason is when they went out there and said, hey, dude, we're going to get some dudes. We're going to get the Branch boys. We're going to go get Noah. We're going to pair it with all these athletes we already have. And I was waiting. I was like, all right, they're finally doing it. They're taking the initiative to take that massive step forward in the offense. And I never saw it, man. I unless you did, there was a couple of games that we maybe saw like flashes of it. But when you watch teams like, and I keep saying it, but in Indiana and A&M even, you know, that takes some of these athletes that are just freak athletes and they make sure they get the football. Ole Miss does it, you know, and we cannot do that with Georgia. It's this whole team mentality, which is great. But I'm telling you, this is an individual sport at times, especially when you get to these late games in the season. You need somebody to step up. And when they've not been asked to step up this entire season, and Mike Bobo is not putting them in the spot, I think it's time for change. You got to, man. If you're not moving forward, you're stagnant, you're losing it. And I feel like that's what Georgia is right now.
Well, I think it's a tough spot, Shane. I really do, because I don't know that there is an easy answer. And I don't know if they just – he gets tight in the big games. I don't know. Cause again, I'm seeing some comments, you know, the offense didn't necessarily cost them this game.
No,
it was more defense, but against there's gotta be, we can't have all these years in a row, not even a damn playoff win. That's my issue where again, firing everybody, maybe not always the answer. And I'm not saying it's the answer here, but I think there's got to be a hard look in the mirror in Athens and try to figure out what the hell's going on. Well, this is, again, 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Three years in a row without a national championship, I think, is disappointing. But 3 years in a row without a playoff win, that's...
I'm starting to second guess what Steve Spurrier said, you know? Like maybe it is easier to win an SEC championship than the first round of the college football playoffs.
Well, Shade Times, they are a-changing. You know what?
Yeah, I know. Hey, cuz, come on now. David Chambers coming through. I haven't missed a game live this season. HVAC industry has been great to me this year. Plans already made for Miami. Hotty toddy, go Ooh. Revs. Beat that ass. Say it, Mike. Say it, Mike.
Man, we might have to get our ass down to Miami, Shane, if they make it all the way to the championship. You know what?
Man, you never know. Have you ever had a unit go out like an HVAC? Dude, oh, I yeah. did once in August, like 100 degrees. Dude, we were all in one room with an air conditioner. It's like just praying to God our HVAC guy would show up. So, yeah, your service is committed, my. We got this, I got to be careful. We got this Nest thing now where I can adjust the thermostat, game changer. Right? Be like, she's like, did you set the temperature? Yes. And then when I'm in there, I'm like, on my phone, being able to do it from your phone is unreal. So shout out to the HVAC guys.
Mine's like 3 feet away. I don't mind walking.
Getting out of bed? Hell no. Hell no. Sometimes, like when I wake up, then I turn the heat up, you know? I ain't got to get out of bed.
Okay.
I can even set a schedule if I wanted to. It's fancy.
Well, hey, how about this schedule, Shane?
Yes.
Schedule may be a change. And shout out to him again, $20. Charlie Weiss Jr. to the New York Giants, baby. What? More to follow. So in case anybody missed that, so this is relevant to LSU.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ole Miss. Ole Miss offensive coordinator is headed to LSU. He's splitting time right now between the two schools. But there is some report. I don't recall who originally had it, but they said the Giants are perhaps interested in Charlie Weiss Jr. to be offensive coordinator in the NFL. Mm. Again, he coached Jackson Dart at Ole Miss, so there's connection there. And apparently, Shane, I don't think there's any way, based on what I know, that Charlie Weiss, if he stays in college, he's going to be at LSU. Apparently, he's got a massive provision in his contract to where it's not feasible for Ole Miss or anybody to kind of steal him away from LSU.
Yeah.
But he has a $0 buyout if he goes to the NFL or becomes a college head coach.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, this is, I don't know. And again, I don't know if there's any truth to this report, but if there is, I think he could be gone.
Do you think there's something about following like an offensive guy like Lane Kiffin? Pete came out. I thought he made the best comments earlier this postseason when he was saying, hey, this isn't Lane's offense. This is Charlie's offense. And Charlie's going to come out here. He's going to show you what he can do. And I feel like stretching his legs and kind of having that opportunity, what provides me the best path to making a head coach spot? Is it following Lane Kiffin or is it going to an NFL team? I feel like, brother, you know, this may be the move right here. Go up there for a couple of years, hopefully have some success with New York, and then get an opportunity to come back and be a head coach in the college football.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. So I think you might be onto something. Being in somebody's shadow.
Yeah.
Not necessarily going to be, you know, you'd like to evolve and learn, you know, under new coaches and new schemes and things of that nature. So, yeah, that's a great point.
Defense, though, it's the opposite. It feels like, yeah, he's been under Kirby Smart forever. So he'd be a great coach, you know.
All right. Well, we kind of hit on this already, but I just wanted to recap it quickly, Shane.
Yes.
Speaking of them Indiana communists, they beat Alabama 38-3, Shane. Largest margin of defeat for Alabama since 1998. Feels like 98 down in Tuscaloosa because they just got absolutely steamrolled. And this was not like some fluke, Shane. This was not like Matt. I mean, Alabama did have a turnover. Indiana did not. But this wasn't a five turnover game. It wasn't a bunch of pick sixes or anything like that. Just got dominated. Indiana 237 rushing yards to Alabama's 48. This is sack adjusted. And Mendoza, he only had to throw 16 passes, Shane, because they were able to do whatever the hell they wanted against old Alabama, particularly in the second half. But Alabama kicked a pity field goal in the second half just to prevent from getting shut out. And man, this was just an ugly, ugly, ugly game here for Alabama and the SEC. And now where do we stand here with Alabama at 11-4 and another disappointing season, I think, for Kalen DeBoer?
Yeah. I mean, this one sucked. This was bad, 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 bad. I saw somebody posted, we drove 2,000 miles to watch Alabama kick a field goal. Yeah. But again, I didn't leave this game thinking, oh, poor Alabama. I just came away from this game thinking, oh, shit, I was wrong about Indiana. You know, this is a great, great football team, both sides of football, and they got some dudes. And Cignetti, man, he's got to be careful, because I always feel like some of this stuff comes back around, you know, running up the score. It felt like that. It felt a little bully ball here. And more times than not, I do think that Alabama's going to whoop Indiana in whatever sport they're playing. So I would hope that this is, you know, cemented in those Tide fans' memories for a while, so that the next opportunity they have, maybe we get a different result. But hey, man, Alabama fought their ass off to get to this point. Can't believe, I mean, they barely made the playoffs to go to Norman and have it. I mean, this team's not, they're not taking time off. They had to go to the SEC championship. They had to go to Oklahoma. You know, they've been grinding up to this point. So, yeah, you could see a little bit of that fatigue set in the second half when they knew this game was out of hand.
Well, let me ask you, because a lot of Alabama fans are asking themselves, Shane, is Alabama too soft under Kalen DeBoer to win it all? You know, they haven't been able to run the football effectively. It seems like anytime it's a short yardage situation, we're getting tricky. We have to scheme up all these different ways to get a yard or two here or there. And hey, credit to these coaches, because oftentimes it has worked this year. You know, they've had to use the left tackle as a rusher, as a pass catcher. I mean, they've asked Proctor to do everything but throw the damn football. But they're doing all this gimmicky shit because they can't apparently play traditional offense and have success. Is Alabama too soft under DeBoer?
Yeah. But I'm not blaming DeBoer so much as I'm blaming everybody. I'm blaming the school. I'm blaming the roster. I can't remember, it's been a while since I've seen a struggling Alabama offense, especially running the ball. Like, they've had some down years, even with Coach Saban, but there was still opportunity. You know, it's just, it felt like all that's been out the window. Like, they sold out. The best thing, instead of running it some gimmick screen or something like that, like you said, and it's just, it's terrible. It's not fun to watch. And shout out to the defense. Damn, they did their best, but you can only give the Indiana the ball so many times. I mean, even when you get a first down, you fumble the ball. It's like, toss it, just drop to the ground. It felt like that was the ball game right there. And when that happened, the dam just kind of bust loose.
Now, I don't know if you've heard this, Shane, but
yeah,
you know, obviously there was that Michigan drama. You know, they were interested in Kalen DeBoer, and of course that didn't happen, but the rumor out of Tuscaloosa is they are going to sign Kalen DeBoer to a contract extension. Has he earned that? And, you know, can you do that? Again, coming off the biggest loss since 1998, this program, I'm not saying he's a bad coach. I'm not saying he's got to go. But can you stomach giving him a contract extension after another inconsistent season?
Yes, because if you remove the name and remove the team, what has happened? A guy comes in, knocks on the playoff door year one, year two, makes the playoffs, makes an SEC championship, does win a game in the playoffs. So I'm seeing movement in the right direction. Now, it's not been pretty. It's been ugly here as of late, and I feel like maybe sometimes it overshadows what exactly DeBoer has accomplished down there in Tuscaloosa. But remember, he's in a massive, massive shadow right now, and the only way you can get around that is by putting time down there. And, yeah, if you're going to – clearly, this would be a big get because the last thing you want to hear is DeBoer's name keep coming up at the end of the season for another job. And if you can secure him and give him some more time, I feel like this is a good move.
Spoken like a Tennessee fan. Keep his ass down in Alabama. I don't know about that, Shane. And again, Emily says, what do you mean inconsistent? I mean, this has been the theme of his damn tenure. Where they were dropping games last year, they had no business dropping, including at Oklahoma. That was embarrassing as hell. But even look this year, Shane. Of course, the Florida State. I know that was so long ago. We kind of forget it. But that was humiliating. Yeah. Florida State was a dog shit team this year. Let us not forget. And I know the final score 31-17, but it was not even that close. And then they turn around and they beat Georgia at Georgia and you say, oh, what? Well, how the hell did they lose Florida State? Then they got red hot. Mm-hmm. And then they fell apart at the end again. I mean, Oklahoma was bad. Even some of these wins, South Carolina, LSU were bad. Got dominated by Georgia. They did beat Oklahoma, and then they got dominated again. My problem is, who are we? Are we the team that's getting our ass kicked by Florida State, or are we the team that's whooping Georgia's ass in Athens? Are we the team that got whooped by Georgia in Atlanta? Are we the team that won at Oklahoma? Are we the team that got our ass handed to Indiana? Who is Alabama? I don't know. And to just ride a damn roller coaster, I think that is not a great sign of coaching.
No, I get it, man. I totally get it. I'm right there with you. The standards in Alabama are higher than other places. And wins, it's like we don't count pretty win, like ugly wins. Ugly wins are not wins. They're just barely, you know, they don't, like, they have their own bracket. And I think that's kind of dumb. I feel like at the end of the year, when you're looking at wins and losses, ultimately that's what matters. You don't think about how close that Vanderbilt game was until it wasn't. You know, you don't think about the Oklahoma game, or hell, even the Georgia in the SEC championship. You forget that they beat them earlier in the season. So it's like, yes, they've had some ups and downs, but I feel like what really happened to Alabama was just exposure. They didn't have the depth. They didn't have the competitive depth to do exactly what they wanted to. And they got exposed late in the season, and they just couldn't hide it anymore like they were earlier in the year.
Yeah, shout out to Cousin Curtis in the comments, Shane.
Yeah.
He says, oh, man, I wish Shane was my agent with this.
I'm just trying to get Kalen to come by our booth this media day. Come on, man. I'm the one guy supporting you here.
And then, hey, speaking of support, though.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Shout out On3 Reporting. Sorry if you can't, if that type is so tiny. I'll read it for you, Shane. But there's a lot of speculation about old Ty Simpson. What will he do? Is he going to the NFL? He hasn't made a decision. They're keeping all options open. No decision has been made about Ty declaring for the draft at this point, and he is still evaluating everything with his family and close advisors. So I kind of compared this online to Carson Beck last year.
Mm-hmm.
And people got mad at me, but I think it's an identical situation.
Yeah.
Where I'm not saying he's leaving. I'm not saying he's going to Miami or anything, but this is the world of college football, you know, where let's weigh our options. If the NFL guarantees you your first round pick, I would think he's probably going to go. I don't think Carson Beck got that. I think he got a second rounder. So we all know he went to Miami. So, and there's a lot of speculation, Shane. They're keeping it pretty quiet, but Ty Simpson to Tennessee is possible as well. And don't forget, Alabama, they signed a five-star quarterback named Russell, who he sat the bench this year. And he was regarded, or he is, the highest-rated quarterback that Alabama has ever signed.
Hmm.
And they've signed some really good ones. So that doesn't mean he's a next all-star, next Tua or anything, but I have to imagine he's not eager to sit for 2 years. So there's a lot of moving pieces here, but what's your thoughts on all this? Ty Simpson not making a decision. I have to imagine it's got to come at some point. And again, Tennessee speculation that there was a lot of speculation that Tennessee was going to be looking for a quarterback in the portal. And to my knowledge, they've not hosted anyone. They've not been, you know, you've seen their name attached to certain quarterbacks, and then it's, well, that guy's going here, this guy's going there. Tennessee just waiting out the water, Shane.
Well, they better not wait too long, you know. because I feel like, Ty took a little ding there in the playoffs. Get benched in a bowl games or a playoff game is not easy. And especially, I haven't seen the numbers, but I imagine there were several millions of people watching this thing. So, I feel like we could be a Ty Simpson rehab up here in Knoxville. That would be fine. I believe he would be all right. And but I have no doubt in my mind that Josh Heupel and company will find them a quarterback to. They're not going to wait to the last second and pick some dude out of California, you know. So I do feel like Tennessee's got a plan, but it is interesting because Simpson's in a weird spot where he probably can make more money just being a college quarterback for one more year, and ultimately maybe help his draft stock, you know.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and then speaking of Tennessee, I wanted to hit on this. Of course, we don't have to talk much about this game. We did the watch party, and it was embarrassing as all get out. As Tennessee fell to 8-5, but they have finalized their defensive coaching staff. Shane, of course, we all know by now, Jim Knowles, defensive coordinator, hired him away from Penn State. And then they've added Anthony Poindexter as co-defensive coordinator. He's going to coach the secondary. Andrew Jackson is going to coach outside linebackers, and Michael Hunter Jr. cornerback. So. They're keeping Rodney Garner. They're keeping William Inge, the linebackers coach. So
yep.
Tennessee's got the defensive staff settled, and
mm-hmm.
I think it's fair to say that the future of Josh Heupel rests on these being successful hires and Tennessee improving on the defensive side of the football, because I think they're at a little bit of a crossroads there on Rocky Top. You think that's fair?
That's fair. That's fair. I mean, it was a young roster. It's one of the youngest in the conference this year. A lot of people forget about that, but they did grow up quite a bit. And the defense was, everybody always asks me, anybody that comes up that knows I, you know, talk football, they'll say, God, what about them Vols? You know, it's the same conversation I had about 15 times. I was like, oh yeah, I know they're bad. And he goes, it's the worst defense I've ever seen. And he's right. They're right. It was. It was absolutely embarrassing. But the third comp, it's always in there, says, that new guy wasn't coaching in there. And I was like, no, he wasn't. We'll be fine. Tennessee will be fine. And I do think that, again, I'm watching this portal. I'm constantly checking the updates and seeing what Tennessee's adding, because that's one thing I would love to see is some more defense, some more, you know, just some more bodies on that side of the football, because it felt like at the end of the season, last 2 years, that we've really struggled on that side of the football, you know, just keeping guys healthy.
Right. Well, Shane.
Yeah.
It's not all been a disaster, though, for the SEC. Shout out. Mighty Texas Shane getting it done for the conference. Beat the hell out of Michigan, 41-27 in the Citrus Bowl, the greatest bowl of all. We all know this is the only bowl that really matters, right? So
yeah.
Shout out them Longhorns for getting it done. Man, you know who looked like $1 million? Arch Manning. Come on, preseason Heisman front runner already, 221 passing yards, 2 touchdowns. And oh, by the way, he said, you know what, Shane, I'm just going to put the damn team on my back. 9 rushes, 155 more yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns, including the one that busts this game wide open. And I don't care about old Michigan, Shane. They can go to hell, cheating bastards, because Texas done spanked their ass and sent them back home. You know what?
It was so nice seeing someone else say, well, these games don't really matter, you know. The new coach wasn't even, you know. No, it was good. It was good to get an SEC win here. It's good to see Arch Manning coming out and playing out of his dang mind. There was a couple of plays in there. There's a reason that he's going to pick up that Heisman momentum coming into 26. A lot of it had to be with that final game in the Citrus Bowl. So, yeah, this is a big, big win. Big win for the team. And, again, a launch pad. That's what we're talking about, the importance of some of these games. I thought it was very important for Texas to get these extra reps, to get this extra practice, but more importantly, use it as a launch pad to 26, because this is not a team that that wants to miss playoffs anymore. I expect them to be ready come next year.
Yeah, and they're going to be ready, Shane, thanks in large part, perhaps. Nothing finalized yet, but they are very active in the transfer portal,
yeah,
including getting Mr. Cam Coleman on campus. He's not committed or anything, but they've got a healthy offer on the table for Cam Coleman. I think he's the best overall player in the portal. I think most would agree with that. They just got a kicker. You got to get them kickers in there. You know what I'm saying? They're after, you know, every good running back in the portal. Yeah. They're going to get some, I'm sure, help all over the defense. And it came at a little bit of a cost, though, Shane. So I just thought this was pretty interesting. Shout out Parker Livingston, freshman.
Yeah.
And roommate of Arch Manning, Shane. We don't have to ever hear about that ever again, unfortunately. But he's leaving. And he put out this lengthy statement. I'll just highlight this one part because I thought it was pretty interesting, Shane. Never in a million years did I think I'd be going into the portal looking for a new home. Some things are out of my control. And he's just talked about how grateful he is and, you know, a big-time fan favorite. But, hey, that's life in the portal, Shane, where Texas trying to upgrade at receiver in a young, productive player, but maybe not an elite player yet. Mm-hmm. And again, all the Texas people, so they would know better than I would, but they're saying he had a nice offer on the table. So it's not like they just kicked his ass out of the dorm and said, see your ass, you know what I mean? But it is. It's the cost of doing business.
Yeah.
And it's pretty wild. But I think point being, you know, you never wish ill for any of these players, but I think if you're a Texas fan, I think this gives you optimism that, again, hey, 10-3, mm-hmm. you know, that ain't cutting it here in Austin. We're trying to be where Ole Miss is right now, and these are the moves we've got to make to get there. That's how I read it.
So Livingston got there, and the keys won't work at the door, and he's like, oh, you forgot. And he's like, oh, man, I meant to tell you. I got you an extra set. Yeah, no, the signs were there. And one thing I did like about Livingston is, you know, early in the year when Arch Manning was struggling, it felt like he was the only light for him and for Texas. So I feel like he is a really, really good player, and I hope that he stays in this conference because this is a guy that now I feel like has an extra chip on his shoulder, and that's one I want on my roster, you know?
And it one candidate, Shane, Oklahoma. Imagine. He's probably got a damn Longhorn tattoo for all I know. Playing for the Sooners. Wouldn't be the first time in this conference we've seen a guy with a tattoo of one team playing for the other. But I just for the drama, I would like him to end up in Norman. You know what?
Well, I was hoping Tennessee, too. I mean, we got him this year. You don't have to throw out all the orange stuff, you know.
Hey, shout out Sheet, our favorite Longhorn Indiana Hoosier. Times are definitely a-changing. Back in 2014 and before, I could just walk on to Indiana and become HB1. Nowadays, in 26, can't even win a position battle to be HB2 and have to transfer just to play. Hello, Maryland.
Shit. He's still doing victory laps. I love it. It's going to be, man, it's going to be great. Even though we're down to one SEC team, I am looking forward to these four games. It seems like there was always one that still was going to suck a little bit. I don't think that's going to be the case here. I feel like we got three really good football games ahead of us.
And we may have more throwing coming to Columbia. Shout out Gregory Grogan. This is where I wanted to go next, Shane. I see Mizzou getting Austin Simmons, it seems. Mm-hmm. So highlight it seems because he's another one. Not even in the damn portal yet. So let's not count our eggs before they hatch or whatever they say. But what's your thoughts on that, Shane? Where, again, to my knowledge, I don't even think Austin Simmons is in the portal. Mm-hmm. He is staying with Ole Miss through the playoff because they may, you know, God forbid something happens to Trinidad. They're going to need him, and they're in a chase to win the national championship.
Yeah.
But after that, he's getting in the portal. No surprise. We've talked about him before. I didn't think there was any chance he was coming back. He sure as hell wasn't if Lane Kiffin was coming back. But I thought maybe Pete Golding could get him to perhaps stay. But already destination set, according to some, that Austin Simmons will be the quarterback at Missouri. Yeah. What's your thoughts on that potential fit for Mizzou?
Oh, that would be a home run hit right there. Because I mean, we saw it with Austin Simmons. We saw a very high ceiling, but the problem was the floor. And that a lot of that had to do with youth and inexperience. And then you get Trinidad out there, and this guy's just playing out of his dang mind. So, I understand why he wasn't able to get back on the football field. I mean, you've got a guy here that's just playing crazy good football. So if you could get him and keep him for a few seasons, build around him, that's one thing that I would love. I hated to see that they lost a receiver. Of course, he went to Mississippi State, so we're still going to get to see him too. So I feel like that is something Mizzou kind of lack this season. So, hey, building around this guy. If you can get an Austin Simmons, keep him for 2 or 3 years, brother, I feel like that would be continuity that you need to make that next level.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know, Shane. I don't hate it, but I feel like we need a guy that we know is good. And I'm not saying he's bad.
Yeah.
Hell, remember Ole Miss fans were telling us he's going to damn Heisman? And the backup was better. Yeah. So maybe they had it right. This is the wrong player. But again, he's very, very highly considered.
Yeah.
He's got a huge arm. But, he needs experience. And just in the games we did see him. Let's think back. Shane, Kentucky had multiple turnovers, if memory serves. Georgia State, I believe he had multiple turnovers. We saw him in the playoff game against Tulane. He came in to spell Trinidad. He had a turnover.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm sensing a theme here, Shane. A lot of turnovers with this guy. And I don't know. I don't know. I would think of more it's almost like, to me, it's a gamble on a guy's talent.
Yeah.
Which that's what you want, right? You want a massively talented quarterback, but I would almost rather have a guy that is proven it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I get it. Well, that being said, is there some offers out there? Is there opportunities out there that you're saying, hey, like the Arizona State kid? I mean, obviously that would be one, but it seems like a lot of those guys are already kind of accounted for. Similar to Austin Simmons, maybe not the ink hasn't dried or anything, but you're saying it sounds like it's a Mizzou or nothing type situation.
Yeah. I don't think he's got any other option. I think that's the quarterback Drake wanted.
Yeah.
And they went and got it done, is just based on what I've heard behind the scenes. So, this big gamble, but
yeah,
could be the biggest portal pickup of the entire offseason. You know what?
Could be. I mean, we may look back and say, damn, I can't believe Austin Simmons got over. You never know. These kids, sometimes it's just you got to have the right people around them, maybe the right coaches around them, and maybe they unlock something that hasn't been, shown. And the thing I like about Austin Simmons is just he fits the mold, right? If I'm building a quarterback that's fast, that's mobile, that's accurate at times, that he has those pieces. But again, it's those boneheaded plays that kept him from getting back on the football field. It's the injuries, put some weight on him. I feel like that's another thing that we'll have to do when he gets over there. So he's got the frame for it. It's just putting it all together and drink. I don't know. Maybe this is a different route. Somebody you can keep for a few years. And like I said, build around him.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting to see now what does Ole Miss do,
mm-hmm.
particularly Trinidad. He's trying to get a waiver. I don't know if he gets it. And if he does, he may be the next LSU quarterback. Of course, after this run Ole Miss is on, I would imagine they'll do literally anything to try to keep him. But who knows where that goes? What happens if what if Ole Miss, for whatever reason, doesn't have Trinidad? Maybe just his eligibility,
yeah,
it expires. Mm-hmm. I would almost think they have to go to the portal to get a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, lose two quarterbacks in one night. Yeah, I feel like that would happen. You definitely don't want to put all your chips in him coming back, because I feel like that's going to be a slippery slope, and it sounds to me like not going to happen. And if it does, it'll be delayed. So, yeah, I feel like you've got to get – you got to get another guy in there, or maybe even two, if possible.
Yeah, and some people are saying Deuce Knight. So yeah, that would be interesting. But again, he's similar to Austin Simmons, where massive potential,
mm-hmm.
but we've not seen it outside of a Mercer game. So I don't think you could put all your chips on him either.
Yeah. No. Man, I've been so bad at picking quarterbacks. I can't really say. I may shit on Austin Simmons and he just turns out to be the next Trinidad, you know? So, yeah, I'm not doing it yet. Let's see what he looks like in a different uniform.
Well, you mentioned Arizona State transfer Sam Levitt. Shane, yeah. Some people have him as the number one player in the entire portal. And guess where he just visited, and he's the number one target, Shane. The Kentucky Wildcats. Oh. And, man, if you go over there and see what the Kentucky Wildcats are doing under Will Stein, Shane, I mean, it is a who's who of elite portal prospects visiting Lexington. And they haven't got any of these guys yet. So,
yeah,
they're not spiking the football just yet. But I am liking that they're swinging a big stick and – hey, new coach, obviously, new culture.
Yeah.
And, hey, this is also something I said, Shane, where, you know, are they the next Indiana?
Yeah.
You know, that's a tall drink of water, whatever they say. But I think if you look no further than Indiana, I mean, Indiana was like the shittiest program in Power Five. They have more losses than anybody. They are marching their ass perhaps to the national championship game. If that's a blueprint for everybody, you know, mm-hmm. Go get you a coach, invest in football, even at these basketball schools where they know all too well, Shane, that football makes a lot more money than basketball, even at a place like Kentucky.
Yeah.
If Kentucky was in the Final Four of football, you know, that would be such a financial boom to that program. I like the aggressiveness that Will Stein and Kentucky are showing in the portal. And I hope they get all these guys and make Kentucky arguably I think they are the worst team in the conference and go from the worst to one of the more competitive teams. I think it could happen overnight.
It could, but it could also be like me playing NCAA, you know, or college football. It's like, I'm going to send them an offer anyway, even though I've got a snowball's chance in hell of getting this guy. And I'm not saying that's the case with Kentucky, right? Who knows? Who knows what's being set up there? You know, who knows how much money they've got for this thing? Because I would imagine coming in, there should be some sort of commitment to NIL.
Right.
And maybe that's what we're starting to see here is some of those purse strings pulled on a little bit. So,
well, yeah, and it's more than just an offer, Shane. This was the first place and only place as of so far that Sam Levitt has visited.
That's interesting, man. Didn't see that one coming.
And I don't know if there's truth. Probably shouldn't spew speculation, but I'm going to do it anyway, Shane. Speculation that he's got an offer around $6
million. Damn, $6
million. Again, to be a savior, if he comes in there, he's worth every penny. If he comes in and he's Jackson Arnold, he ain't worth nothing. Oh, you know what I mean? But but who knows? If that's the number, you know, that's how you get a guy that – maybe LSU wants and this school wants and that school wants. Why is it going to go Kentucky over these? A big part of it's going to be because you blow them out of the water with an offer.
If that happens, we got to get Roush on immediately. I want to see him standing outside the coach's home, him and Adam giving us an update. So, yeah, I mean, obviously you want some – Kentucky's not exciting. Hasn't been in a long time. Getting rid of Coach Stoops, out of all the coaches, is probably the one we talk least about, right?
Yeah.
And you know how you get people to talk about you? You get the number one quarterback in the transfer portal to commit to you. And then all of a sudden, we start talking about Kentucky football again. And, yeah, they may be extremely top-heavy with that contract, may not have enough money to build around him, but who cares? All of a sudden, we're talking about Kentucky football, and I think maybe that's something they need, brother. It may be worth it.
Yeah, and you know what you need, Shane?
What's that, bro? What do I need? That's a long list, Mike.
You needed Vanderbilt to lose. Again, we were rooting for Vanderbilt, but for your walk-in status was not rooting for him. So, man, Vanderbilt went down. I think this is the most upset I got over any of these damn bowl games, Shane.
Yeah.
Just because I've talked up Vanderbilt, and I love the story. I know Diego Pavia, people love him or hate him. So probably a lot of people were rooting for him to fail. Well, you got your wish in this one because old Indiana – These teams are all damn same to me. But Iowa, Vanderbilt made a couple mistakes, cost them. I think they, what was critical to me, Shane, they really missed Eli Stowers, elite tight end. I think they would have won with him. He was the only opt out. Mm-hmm. Now, that could be just me making excuses, could have, should have, would have. But I just don't think you could pluck an All American off Vanderbilt and he not be missed. But this was the one that hurt me more than any of this bowl season, just because I'm just so used to the SEC whooping Iowa's ass in a bowl game. It happens every year.
It does. It does. And I mean, it's one of those teams like you forget. I've not watched one. This is the only time I watch them is in the postseason, right? It's like, oh, yeah, they made it again, right? Is Coach Stoops up there? I don't know. I feel like, brother, it sucks. It sucks for Vanderbilt because at the end, my New Year's resolution is not to use that anymore. I almost said it.
At the end of the day.
Yeah, I was going to say it. Now I've lost all train of thought. I just feel like, you know, this again is something that we can look at next year, year after, when we're talking about the absolute best season that Vanderbilt put together. 11-2 would be a lot nicer than 10-3. But it still doesn't take away the fact of everything that Coach Lee and company have accomplished up to this point. It's just, it would have been icing on the cake. It would have been really nice for this to end the right way and with a walk-off win. Pavia, it's over. The magic's over. But again, I felt like the baton had been passed. You know, we went out here, we got the number one quarterback in recruiting, and there's some special things brewing in Nashville, and this would have been nice to have the win so we could just brag about another conference win. But at the end of the day, Mike, you can't over. I can't even talk because now I'm thinking about end of the day 15 times. You take over.
At the end of the day, Shane's got a little less walking to do, so he's happy. And speaking of disappointment, final disappointment, Shane, what the hell? Mayo. No. Shout out Mississippi State for completing the very unusual 5-8 record on the season.
Yeah.
Five. I don't know that I've seen that in the history of SEC, but it is what it is, Shane. I thought Kamario Taylor looked pretty good for Mississippi State. Unfortunately, he suffered a bad injury at the end.
Yeah.
Now, the early prognosis is nothing serious. He should be good for spring, so fingers crossed. I mean, this was one where you didn't know if he was going to be available next season. It looked horrible. But again, that's not the early indication that nothing serious happened. But again, just what happened, Shane, is another black eye for the SEC, losing to these sorry ass ACC teams. But you know, even their 9-4 teams, they shouldn't be beating SEC teams. You know what?
No. That's maybe some invites you should just turn around, turn away. maybe you shouldn't quite Notre Dame it, but no. I think this is a team that really needed the practices more than anything. So you may not see it in this bowl game, but you may see a slight improvement at the start of next season. So, I hate it. Again, another loss, another SEC loss, but they shouldn't have been there anyway.
Hey, we keep getting called for at the end of the day merch, Shane. So we're going to have to figure out what exactly we want to do with that. And we're going to get that out for the people.
At the end of the day, man. At the end of the day, man, I can't. It sticks with me, and I say it throughout the day. Now, I must say it 30 times a day. I didn't realize it, and now I've got a problem. So,
well, at the end of the day, Shane.
Yeah,
you know who's always there for us?
Who's that?
The legend.
The legend. The legend. Cousin JR has done it again.
Thank you, JR. He gifted a membership. You ain't gonna believe it, Shane, to Bobo's headset. What?
Whoa, we just got rid of the guy.
And shout out Glenn Warsaw. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, cuz.
He gifted log 9 or 597. Log, we appreciate you. And we appreciate the other legend, Steven Up.
Always showing up for the boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, cuz.
Gifted Little Sith Lord. Cool name. And then our favorite Texas Indiana Homer, Shane. Old Shin. He gifted dun, 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 Tanya B. All of y'all, welcome
to the family.
All right, buddy, anything else before we wrap this one up?
Emily says, at the end of the day, Cousin Shane is still saying at the end of the day. You should see me at work. Oh, is it not the end of the day yet?
you say that even offline? Do you say that to people?
I do. Every time. I catch myself now, and I'm like, damn, maybe I've... Even my kids, I'm getting on to them. Hey, guys, at the end of the day, it doesn't, you know. So, yes, I'm saying it. Shout-outs. Thank you, JP, for putting this together. I really do appreciate it. Shout-outs go to Cousin JR, Glenn Warshaw, Dave Chambers, Tammy B, Stephen Up, Gregory Grogan, Tolkien, Say It, and Shin. Thank you all, and it's so good to see you guys again. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. Have those notifications on because it's a crazy thing about this portal. Something nuts happens, you better damn believe SEC Mike's going to be on there in 10 or 15 seconds at least. So,
right.
Yeah.
Shout out, Ben. I'm seeing a lot of people comment this. When's the next show? Hey, back to normal schedule.
Mm-hmm.
New Year's, Christmas, all that jazz. That was fun taking a little bit of a break. But, yeah, so we got Marler Monday. We got Steven coming on tomorrow. And like Shane said, I'm kind of waiting for some emergencies.
Yeah.
When we get some big commitments out of the portal, quarterbacks, things of that nature. I decided Texas landing a kicker was not quite worth an emergency podcast.
But
once we get some good portal additions, like an Austin Simmons, waiting to see that for sure where he's going to go. I'll do a lot of live reactions to that. And I also got some pretty fun ideas, Shane, for some content we've never done here. Some deep dives on a lot of these coaches that are new to the SEC, even the position coaches, coordinators, things of that nature. So I've got a lot of stuff behind the scenes that I think the cousins are really going to enjoy, but that'll start to trickle out more and more as football's dying down. We ain't going anywhere. Mm-mm. We'll be here to cover it all. And hell, basketball, we're going to start getting into basketball at some point.
Hell yeah.
Waiting for football to come to an end there. But anything else before we, at the end of the day, close this one
up? At the end of the day. Yeah, a little closure at the end of the day here. Probably going to have, not saying it, but most likely we'll have a watch party, you know, for these games as well. So I look forward to hanging out with you cousins and talking ball. It's probably one of my favorite times because somebody says, who do you like to watch the games with? Well, nobody around here, you know. I like watching it with my cousins because they appreciate it. So look forward to hanging out with you guys. And I will be back Tuesday, of course. So that's all I got, Mike.
All right. At the end of the day, we'll see you on Tuesday. That's going to do it for this episode. We appreciate each and every one of you. Until next time, we'll see you.
See you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.